This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Daniel, it's up to you.
Save us, Daniel. Save us.
Dude, you got me all worked up, man. My Oakland A's are playing in a AAA stadium. Brock Purdy's going to get traded. They're not going to sign him. And the Kings are where they usually are, man. The Kings are where they've been my entire life, dude. Why do you bring in DeMar DeRozan? He's the mid-range king. And yet you as the coach and the previous coach want you to take more threes. Why do you have him on this team?
Because
why
the previous coach, Daniel, the previous coach rejected two other trade proposals.
So what's going on with the team then?
Listen to your coach.
Well, I'm sorry.
You listen
just
to the coach.
Real quick. Why is Brock Purdy getting traded?
No.
Okay.
Daniel's a sports fan that's going through it. Daniel
sounds like a Kyle Madsen text.
John Lynch, get that contract done. Daniel needs it.
Daniel's going through it.
They had a proposal. A media guy, I think it was a New York media guy, said they should trade Brock Purdy to the Giants for 3 first-round picks.
Okay. All right.
Oh, man.
Our guy is Karen in here. Fox and Mike with a problem, though. Fox quit, right? I'm not even worried about that. Look it.
I don't think Mike, Fox quit.
Yeah, no. But I'm not worried about that. Mike was a problem. It's clear. Mike was a problem. All right. So is the front office. So are the players on this team. It's not It's his fault. No, this whole organization has issues that they need to honestly just kind of start fresh again.
There ain't nobody right in this situation.
Exactly.
There ain't nobody right. And everybody wants that's also my whole thing. Everybody wanna pin it on one thing. And there ain't nobody right.
There's no department. Will it be the front office or the players breathe like, all right, we're good now, got the fix.
Let's go down the list. Vivek, we'll start at the top. He created this nonsense with guys like Wes Wilcox and Monty McNair still being there. Mm-hmm. And then having shadowy figures around. I mean, it's not Jeremy Lamb like everybody's making it out to be, but Vaughty's still around for some reason. Before that, Joe Dumars was
on
around.
Road trips.
Yeah, like that is a problem. That's not okay. Let's move down to the front office. They, regardless of understanding why they didn't do this and that and this and that, the bottom line is things didn't get done. That's the bottom line. Jesse says all the time, and he's right. It's a bottom line business. I can understand all you want. I could even agree with, hey, like, let's not trade Keegan Murray. That's cool. I was wrong. They were wrong. We're not better for it. So that's the bottom line of that. Mike Brown was an issue. People talking about why is DeMar DeRozan here? Because that's when they finally went down the list, they finally found someone they all can agree on. That's one of the reasons why DeMar DeRozan is here.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
We think so. We don't know that right. for sure.
But there were others that that Coach it Brown said, no, I'm not cool with that.
Yep.
So there's that aspect. Then you get down to the players. No leadership. De'Aaron Fox wasn't a leader. DeMar DeRozan hasn't been able to he's maybe overstepped his bounds. Zach LaVine isn't shooting the ball nearly enough and being the player that he could be. Domantas Sabonis isn't shooting the ball nearly enough into being the player that he could be. Then you look at the roster. The roster was unbalanced and didn't have anything coming off the bench for I don't know how long. We're depending on Mason Jones, Isaac Jones. Devin Carter couldn't play. No fault of his own. He had surgery, but the front office picked him.
Yep.
So I keep count. I think we went about five things there.
Franchise player was throwing out ultimatums for a coach that was 13-18 and lost half the locker room.
Those ultimatums were being thrown out, though, during the summer.
Still, it was still a problem. We fired him. He's like, yeah, I don't want to be here.
A team that fell short last year, by the way.
Exactly. This whole thing is a mess.
Not that I wasn't advocating for Mike to be back, because I most definitely was. I felt Mike Brown should be here.
And that's also the other thing. When we talk about this, I've said it a number of different times. I agreed. I was wrong. I wouldn't have traded Keegan Murray for Siakam or OG as well. If I was in the front office, I would have been like, nah, man, I don't think I want to make that move for those guys, especially if they're not going to resign here. The end result is, man, Keegan probably isn't where we hoped he would be, and we're worse as a team. My job might be messed up, but nobody else wanted to. No, everybody else was on that same path.
Yeah.
Talking about, no, don't trade Keegan for these guys. He was on the same path. But now you know every damn thing. You was wrong just like them. The only difference is I'm here saying I was wrong. There's nothing wrong with that.
Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Go ahead. Call.
Holla.
Get out your frustrations.
But if I was saying Jesse acting mad like us, like a Celtics, hold on. I watch the Kings a whole lot more than I get to watch the Celtics, bro. I don't get to come talk Celtics for 4 hours.
Jesse with that Drake when KD went down. Oh, man.
I'd rather come talk about a team that's actually doing good rather than dysfunction. I don't get to come talk Celtics. I watch the Kings a whole lot more than that team.
What?
And R. Jonesy says, we ain't getting who said it? I just saw it. Said we ain't getting paid millions to be right. You're also not losing your job if you're wrong. So it's easy for you to come in here and say this is what you should do. This is what you should do with no ramifications. That's easy. I'm not even saying it's hard to be able to do this with getting millions. That's why you get compensated for it. Mm-hmm. But you're wrong. You lose your job. You're wrong in the chatty house. You just come another day and you do whatever you have to do the next day and tell the next person they're wrong. That's it. And I'm not even saying my job is hard. All I'm saying is, I was wrong. I was wrong. Thought they was going to win 52 games. I was wrong about that. Didn't want to trade Keegan. Might have been wrong about that too. And I only say might because I still think Keegan is a good ball player. But, I mean, we don't have Siakam or OG.
The tough part about one of the many tough aspects about firing Mike, because there are players in the locker room who didn't like him or his coaching style or technique or whatever, you better really trust those players.
Mm.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't one of them. We know of three. I think everybody knows of two. The third one might actually surprise you a little bit. That's why I've never said the third one. I don't know if anyone has, but the other two aren't going to surprise anyone. Those two might not be here.
Hmm.
It's always been one of my frustrations with the Kings, and like I don't know. It's hard to not look at Vivek in this situation where they don't. Hey. A, B, C, and D, or A, B, and C, they don't like Mike. I think it's creating a bad locker room. We've lost five in a row. I think we're going to make this move.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he did.
Maybe in between running routes on the beach, he said. So you confident in those three individuals and their future with this franchise? You're more confident in those three individuals than you are in Mike Brown's. Because if that answer is not yes, get out of my face and don't call me about this again. And I don't know that that conversation was ever had, but it's going to create some interesting dialogue this offseason. Let's get, who would you say? It's Titus?
Yeah.
Let's get Titus in here, 916-909-1320. What's up, Titus?
Hey, man, what's up? How y'all doing?
We're good, man. What's up, man?
Hey, look, so this my thing, and I want y'all to really figure this out. Are we, like, say, like, Dallas Cowboy fans? Because I'm just as delusional as y'all. Because every time I think we got something going on. Now, with KC, though, you know everybody that you sit up there and said, okay, I was wrong. Titus was calling in complaining about him over and over and over. But either way, I still was delusional. I thought we was going to get 52. I thought we was going to do so every time. And the last thing I want to say that make it like Cowboys, because I think it's the ownership. And then you got to think it's 20-something years since we've been good. We only had our little run with C-Web and them. So we got delusional. Anyway, man, I mean, it's hurt me as a fan, bro. My mama is, but I'm gone, man. That's all I can.
We appreciate you, Titus, man. I always like hearing from my man, Titus.
Absolutely.
Man. Am I wrong for thinking that like the front office thing is a bit of a cop out? A lot of the times, like I'll even use like the Dallas Cowboys. Like we get our jokes off about Jerry.
Well, can we address that part first? Mm-hmm. All fan bases, we're all delusional. Mm-hmm. Every single, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's the Cowboys. It doesn't matter if it's the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter how good or how bad you are, we're always delusional.
Right.
So, don't worry about that, Titus. You good.
And you know, like, you can look at Jerry for not signing Derrick Henry or something like that, right? Like, I get that. But a lot of the times, like, Dak Prescott still can't throw interceptions against the Packers in the playoff game. You know, like to a certain degree, the ownership, the front office, they do what they can, and then it's completely out of their hands. And the outcome of these games are within the grasp of these players. And I just think when things go wrong, it gets pinned. It's just an easy cop-out to say to ownership. Because we went over it the other day. Like, a lot of these owners are bad people and bad at their job. Mm-hmm. A lot of them. Like, Sarver went to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
He's awful.
Mm-hmm.
He's an awful human being, and he didn't ever really show to be a great owner of a basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
But they had the players that executed, handled business on the floor, and were able to be successful. James Dolan is still who he is as an owner, but he's got players on the court who are executing.
But is that owner or front office? Is that the same thing? I'm sorry. When you said front office, I immediately thought the general manager and the – certainly the owner's a part of the front office, but I think I might have misunderstood what you said.
Yeah, but I mean, I said ownership, but it's front office too, and it plays a role. I just think at the end of the day, like the front office and ownership didn't have nothing to do with letting Coby White go crazy.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you.
You know what I mean? But when they lose, it's because of the front office. It's because of the owner. It starts at the top. All right, man, like, these guys are pros. These guys are talented. Like, keep a guy in front of you.
Will brings up a great point. Unless it's DeMar, then it's the front office's fault.
You built a team no one can believe in. How many times have me and Dame talked about this team has no future? Like, that's where it comes. Like, that's where it's the front. You can't even build a team that can make the mistakes in the playoffs.
So, you're right. That's...
But Vic, like, he's at the top of all this, too. You hired two guys from the same interview process. Vlade Divac still hangs around.
You're right. You're right. But
all of this comes from the start of that. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
I'm taking too many breaks to my points.
Big you King got Jesse Taffy over here like, hey, why don't you shut the hell up? You're 100% right. But I don't think they should have been this bad this year. Like, we could talk about the future and the way the team is constructed, and you are 1,000% right. I'm still, you and I are still in lockstep with that. Mm. I just don't think they should have been this bad this
who's
year.
Who's the sixth seed right now, then? The Warriors. Like, you think this team should be on par with the Warriors?
No.
I mean, but that's also not the team that they came into the season with, and neither did the Warriors.
Well, the front office knew that the franchise player was, hey, I'm not playing for any other coach, and you knew half the team was out on the coach.
So
maybe
so,
they should have knew something.
I asked you this yesterday. I think you answered it, but what would you have done?
I said I would have traded Fox and fired Mike Brown.
All right. Now, the other thing about ownership and all this other stuff, it worked 2 years ago. It is the same people in place. It was the same.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Front office structure 2 years ago. Hell, even last year, they didn't make the playoffs. They were still 10 games over 500. Like, they weren't a losing team. They had some injuries. They collapsed at the end of the season. It was the same structure. Uh-huh. And I only say that to say, I think it still comes down to these players on the court. I think that's where the bulk of it gets decided.
That 1 year feels like you lost the keys to the circus. And then you found them.
The keys to the circus.
Yeah, the Kings were the circus before. The Kings were a circus before. All right. And
well,
then,
what does it matter if you lost the keys?
Because
to the circus?
It's closed. It's closed. You look like you're normal now. And then you open it back up. It's like, oh, all the same problems are still here. Nothing changed is the thing. My point. Nothing changed.
So the circus is a problem?
Yeah. It's a bad analogy, but the Kings are a circus. They don't know. We don't always bat 1,000.
We're going to take.
We don't always bat 1,000.
Jesse's on fire. We're going to take a second to digest this whole losing the keys to the circuit thing. It's circus, and we'll come back. Well, pause. It's Dino and Casey.
Pause on Stephen Brown
on ESPN 1320. Kenny's dying. You good? Oh man, he ain't gonna make it. The Kings have killed
poisoned him this morning.
Kings have killed him. It's finally happened.
I'm still standing. I'm still strong. I am. Barely. It is disappointing,
I'd say you're standing. I wouldn't say you're strong, though.
It is disappointing, though. I tweeted it out last night. I'll reiterate it here. Back-to-back disappointing finishes to the season. Yeah. Collapsing down the stretch. That's disappointing, man.
If I ask you right now, do they make the play-in? Just going off vibes and how this team is going, what would you say? Do they get in above Dallas or the Suns?
I feel like they're going to make the play-in, yes, mm-hmm. but I do not feel great about this team at all.
Like, yesterday felt like one of those, the sports universe is talking a bit.
I looked at Dallas's schedule. I hadn't looked at Dallas's schedule. I didn't think it was – I thought it was – like, I don't need to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter at this point. Like, looking at their schedule, Phoenix's schedule, it doesn't matter because you can't evaluate anything looking at the Kings' schedule. Mm-hmm. You don't know how they're going to – look, you got Oklahoma City tonight. You got one of the best – no Kings fan is going to be surprised if they lose the game. No Kings fan should be surprised if they win the game. We've been saying this now for a few weeks. You got Portland coming in on Thursday. Don't be surprised if they win. Don't be surprised if they lose. Mm-hmm. We've got 11 more of these. That's just an – let's say, Jesse, they get to the play-in. Don't be surprised if they win. Don't be surprised if they lose. There is no – you can't get surprised until they win a playoff series. Because that would shock the hell out of me.
That would absolutely
shock the hell out of me. That means you won 4-7.
Yeah.
And that I know they've done it. God damn it feels like a long time ago at this point.
Yeah.
This feels like a team that's ready to be written off, I think.
I think
I don't think it's a – they might win, they might lose. Like, they've lost 7 out of 9.
Yeah. I think KC asked this question a week or two ago. And I'm looking at Mark's comment about the Beam team was fun, exciting, young, seemingly had a direction. I don't think Kings fans like this basketball team.
Oh, they hate this team.
And it's not just DeMar and Zach. I think they're frustrated with Keegan because some of them were a little too loud after Keegan Murray's rookie year. And now they've just got to hold on to that and not be wrong. But I think they're frustrated with him because they thought he was going to be a star, or at least a bigger star than he is.
Yeah. It was supposed to be him, Fox, and Sabonis.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're still indifferent with him. I think I hesitate to say that they hate LaVine or DeRozan because, like, we talk about all the time. You go to the games, it's not a lot of hate.
I don't count what we see at the arena. Yeah. I think the people we see at the arena are different.
Yeah.
Those are people investing there. Like, that's different. It's one thing, and I'm not trying to criticize people who invest their time and their energy and people who look, you know, probably to a detriment to this show, I will not live on social media. I absolutely refuse. I won't. But I know a lot of dialogue around this team. I know a lot of dialogue around subjects takes place on social media. And that's part of what social media is. It's an algorithm that is based on you. Mm-hmm. Like, it is. Norm was having fun with the show a week ago. Now his poor algorithm has been infiltrated with pyramids and, like, conspiracies surrounding the pyramids. Like, you can't search something once.
Yeah.
Because it's going to wind up in your algorithm and it's going to own you. And that's like when you're what we talk about with fan bases being delusional. If you tend to take on a positive aspect of the team, you'll find people who are positive about the team and you'll talk about them a certain way. If you tend to take on a negative aspect, and I do think that's what most of social media is. Part of the reason I stopped using it is because I kept finding myself going to it and saying something when it was negative. Mm. Like, I'm never saying something positive on, so I'm just not, I got to stop using this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just as bad as what I hate on this.
Right.
But conversations are there. And that is a huge contingent of fan bases on social media. It's basically a giant chat room for you to talk with other Kings fans who are frustrated or related or whatever the case may be. I never judge the Golden 1 Center crowds the same way. Mm. I always think it's different. They're always there to root for Zach LaVine, to root for DeMar DeRozan, to root for, you know, Buddy Hield when he was here, DeMarcus Cousins when he was here, whatever player fans were frustrated with at the moment, that crowd was always going to be 100% behind them.
Yeah. No, you're probably right with that, man. And I do feel like that there is a large contingency of people who just hate this team.
Yeah.
And I mean, do whatever you feel like you need to do. Mm-hmm. That's just not really how I go about things. Mm-hmm. These guys, call it caping, call it defending or whatever. They ain't done nothing to nobody. They go out there, and regardless of what people think, they bust their ass every time out there trying to get a win. I can promise you, they want to win more than anybody that's watching the game, right, watching us two that are talking about it. Right. They want to win more than anybody out there. Doug Christie, I know for a fact, people are telling him, yo, you got to get some sleep, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to go to sleep. Like, he's burning, what they say, burning the midnight oil and all this other. Like, these guys are putting in work to try and change their fortunes. And the DeRozans, LaVine, Sabonis. But we just talked about how Sabonis, you know, probably should have been out 2 weeks and did everything that he needed to do to get back in 5 days to try and change the fortunes of this team. Keon Ellis, Keegan Murray, all these guys. Like, they're busting their ass trying to change their fortunes, trying to win these games. So, you know, I understand the frustrations that people have, but I look at these guys and they don't want it to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to do something different. And I think a lot of times people, they don't want to hear it, you know, for whatever reason. They don't want to hear it. They're mad. And they've grown to hate this team. And that's unfortunate.
You think they hate the roster or the Sacramento Kings? Because I get, like, I get hating the group of guys because you want the team to win so bad or whatever, because your team's been so bad for so long, I feel. Like it's out of frustration, I feel, almost.
They
like, these guys don't, like, the fans don't even have a, like, who do you rally? Malik Monk, I guess, but, like, they don't even have a guy, like, a franchise guy to rally
last
behind.
Week.
Yeah, but... I think most Kings fans still love Malik.
It was a semi.
Yeah.
It wasn't a full.
It was more like, "Hey, you're my bro," but like, what's going on?
He didn't get thrown through the barber shop window, but it was like, all right.
This is there a was, hard team to get.
Maybe you threw him out of the Royal Rumble.
Well, it was one of those things where you looked at him from the aisle.
Yeah,
right? You just kind of looked like, and we were all, "Hey, what was that look?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Kings fans started showing up in black jackets. Like, hey, what's going on here?
This is a tough team to rally behind.
Jesse is trying to keep this show serious, and we're just getting jokes
pissed off today.
Jesse is the most angry.
You thought
Kings
I was
fan.
Upset today,
man.
Bro, I gotta come and
Jesse is sick of this. They're making his job not fun. All of this,
but I do think.
Wait a minute, is Tone in the camp of hating DeMar and Zach LaVine too?
I see
Tone in here talking about subtract DeRozan and LaVine, and he'll up his stat line to 18 to 20 points per game.
He's talking about Keegan.
I know he's talking about Keegan. I don't believe that line of BS at all.
Yeah, I disagree.
I absolutely do not believe that. He is not that player.
He has not shown anything.
He is not that player.
He has not shown anything to make me believe that he can average 18 to 20
points. I'm trying to look back at Tone's remarks to make sure I'm not taking anything out of context.
And he's a cool player. I say this all the time. I want him on the team. More than I don't want him. I don't want him traded or something like that. But I ain't seen nothing in his game that makes me think, and his mentality makes me think he could average 18 to 20 points per game. Like, he didn't even score 20 points for I don't know how long this year. And that was before LaVine got here. So, like I said, he's a good ball player. But I don't see that way at all. But I do think that, these guys, they just – like I said, Jesse said maybe they don't have nothing to root for, but I don't think these – they hate everything about this team, man.
Yeah.
They hate the players.
They
hate the front office.
The way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress.
They hate on the ownership. You know,
I'm with you, though. Just and I love Tone. Tone is a legend. I do not agree with that take about Keegan Murray at all. Mm-hmm. Keegan Murray has not – I'm not going to repeat everything you just said. I just think everything you said was 100% right. Manny, 916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Is it Wednesday? What day is today?
Tuesday,
or is it Tuesday?
Tuesday
Today's Tuesday?
So we're going to get three straight days of Manny.
Man.
We'll be a little early.
Can we make it Wednesday? Yeah, go ahead.
Damn it. Some of the things we don't talk about, right, like the way they just throw guys together, right? I mean, we've talked about it, but – like this whole, like the way Brooklyn did it, Houston, you just throwing three guys together thinking that all of a sudden because you got three bigs, the big three, that it could just work out. And we've seen throughout history, through especially in the last 15 to 20 years, that doesn't work. If you just put any three guys together, like that doesn't work. And you don't think, D'Lo, like some of like what they've done, and don't get me wrong, I think some of Keegan's stunt and offense growth is himself and, you know, him maybe just not being the dude. But the way that they've gone about constructing the team the last couple of years and the moves they made, you don't think that stunted his growth at all?
No.
No.
I don't.
A lot of people agree with you, Manny, and feel that way. I don't feel that way about Zach.
About
Keegan Murray.
Yeah, I don't. No. Who stunted Keegan's growth last year?
Dude's just not aggressive.
No, I'm asking. Did someone, like, because DeMar wasn't here last year. Zach LaVine wasn't here last year. Who stunted Keegan Murray's growth last year when everyone said he's going to emerge to this level of player or this level of player? Who did it last year? Man, we're just getting so selective with how we evaluate these guys.
Well, that's that, or was you bringing in DeMar DeRozan so you can give Keegan time to develop into being that third guy? Once DeMar's out, Keegan will be that guy.
God damn, how much time do you need?
Keegan Murray, to maybe Tone's point, Keegan Murray last April, I'm not going to count how many games this are, but probably about 10 games, when Malik Monk goes down and you needed Keegan Murray to step up. 16.9 points per game. He shot the ball 15.8 times a night. He also had 6.4 rebounds. So maybe that's what they're looking at and saying, if those guys weren't here. Now, mind you, the Kings went 1, 2, 3. They went 5, 3 and 5 in those 8 games, I guess,
mm-hmm.
where Keegan Murray had to shoulder more of the load. That included blowing the 20-point leads against the Knicks and OKC. And I think Phoenix, too. So maybe that's where people look at it and say,
I'm going to say something you're not going to like. So avert your ears.
Earmuffs.
Matt George, I love you to death.
Earmuffs, kids.
Earmuffs. 18.8 points per game, 19.2 points per game, 21.2 points per game. Same draft class. Was emerging as a legit star this year. Who am I referencing?
Jaden.
Yeah, Jaden Ivey, I'd assume.
This isn't the Kings should have done this or the Kings should have done that. It's growth within a player in that draft class taken around the same time.
Mm.
It's there. You can make the argument you want to about how bad Detroit was. That was fine. Is Detroit bad this year?
No, sir.
Because he was part of the first 30 games of that, and he was really good.
He was part of their renaissance.
But the growth is there, is my point. Mm. He started at a higher clip on a bad basketball team than Keegan Murray did. Fine. How is the growth still there? At some point, you can't blame DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, guys who weren't even here last year. At some point, look, I know it's not popular to do in sports media. We did it to start this show. We did it 30 minutes into this show. And I think some of you need to collectively do it right now. Repeat after me. We were all wrong about Keegan Murray.
Mm.
Now let's all try. We were all wrong about Keegan Murray. Doesn't mean Keegan Murray is bad. It means the idea of him being this 20, 21, 22 point per game score, that's not real.
Hmm.
Why he can't hit the three anywhere near the way he did his rookie year, I don't know. Maybe it's because he's this elite defender now. All right. Don't talk to me about offense then. Don't talk to me about scoring points. If you took a guy who set the rookie record for made threes and were like, God damn it, let's make him a Paul George level defender. That's what we're going to do with him. Forget this accelerating as a scorer. Let's make him accelerate as a defender.
Vince.
All right, man. All right. Do that too. There's a place for Keegan Murray on
absolutely
on the Sacramento Kings,
yeah,
on any team in the league.
Yeah.
But adjust your expectations of him. Adjust what you expect him to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because as it stands right now, we were wrong.
And I've adjusted maybe my thinking and my expectations for him. I think outside of the first month, month and a half, Keegan Murray's been fine. And I bet you he's not averaging 18 points a game in that time span. But he's been fine. He's adjusted. He's shotting the ball better to the point where it's gotten back to the average or close to it, or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, he was really frustrating to start the year. He wasn't taking shots.
Right.
To start the year.
But I look at Keegan Murray, and he's at 12, 13.
Yeah, he's constantly taking double-digit shots now.
I think Keegan Murray has been fine for the most – ever since – I forgot what game it was, but I said he needs to be on the table. It was probably around December or something like that. But around that time – ever since then, he's been fine.
He's earned a second contract.
He scored 4 points on January 19th against the Wizards. I don't think that's the game you're talking about.
It might have been.
I don't mean he's earned a second contract too.
It might have been Orlando. He scored 5. They lost that game. That was around the trade deadline. That was February 5th. And no, he actually got going after that.
Well, it was even before that, because I remember I put Zach LaVine in the tweet of like trade. It was like, be open to trade him for Cam Johnson.
So he scored at the end of December. He scored 5 points and 4 points.
That might have been it.
And then missed the game against Philly and Memphis. Yeah. Kings win.
It might have even been before that, too, because Mike Brown, it was when everything was all bad.
All right, man, it was the offseason. God damn it. I'm trying to figure out when it was, and you just keep going earlier and earlier. It was last January that KC wanted to get rid of him.
The point is,
KC hates Keegan Murray. Put it on a shirt.
Since around then, I think he's been fine. I think he's been fine this year.
Since around when you tried to throw him out of Sacramento.
Let's say early December. I thought he was fine. He's been fine this year.
Okay.
That's not the but to your point about adjusting your expectations, my expectations are different. I'm not expecting him to score 16, 15 points a game. I'm not looking at, because DeMar is here, it's taken away from shots, or Zach is here, it's taken away from shots. Really, to be honest with everybody, that's probably the reason why they're here, because they were in a crunch last year. They lost Malik Monk, and they looked at, Keegan can't do this. Be a second scorer, mm-hmm. be that guy that can give you 25 when Monk is out or one of these guys. He can't do that. So we got to go get somebody that can do that. If everybody thought that was the case for Keegan Murray, they probably wouldn't have been bringing in DeMar DeRozan.
Mm.
But it's fine. He's mm-hmm. he's still a good ball player. He's still somebody that we need on this team, and brings a lot of value to this team. But like you said, just adjust the expectations.
Tony said, "No one said he was better than Ivy. They said he was a better fit."
Come on,
Tony, don't play with me. Tony with an I, don't play with me.
Hey, there's
don't
a draft,
do that.
There's a draft day reaction video. That's kind of age better, I guess.
Yeah.
There we go. I found it.
Oh, Jesus. December, hold on. When was it?
December 1st.
The 1st.
I'm just going to say it.
Oh, Jesus.
I'd move on from Keegan Murray.
So that's funny. That was the next block I was looking at, but I was like, I give up. I've named three of them, and Kenny. No, it was earlier than that. No, it wasn't the trade deadline. It was Christmas. No, now it's Thanksgiving. Okay, I've got it. What was your tweet?
I'd move on from Keegan Murray. I'd try to get Cam Johnson, Ingram, or LaVine for him, despite desperate times calls for desperate measures, and it's about as desperate as it gets right now. Jobs are on the line. It's not all his fault, but you got to make a move.
So the Kings had lost four in a row. They beat Minnesota on – what day did you say you sent that? It was
December 1st.
Okay, so – on the 27th, Keegan scored 8 points. On the 29th, Keegan was 1 of 9. He scored 3. And on December 1st, they lost to San Antonio, 127-125. Keegan was 4 of 9 with 8 points, and Kenny was sick of him. Get his ass out of here.
Like I said, man, hey, he's been fine since that point. I think around that time, there's no way of finding out, but he was probably still shooting under 30% from three, because that was pretty
early. No, there very much is a way to find out. Uh-oh. I'll tell you right now. At that time, that's 21 games into the season. Man, he was shooting 27% from three.
Hmm.
Now, since Kenny's threatening tweet, He has been shooting 36% from three. And that's literally that day moving forward.
He was probably about 13, 14 points a game or something like that since that moment.
Yeah, well, I just closed the tab, pal.
Oh, come on.
No, hang on. Yeah, 12.3 points per game.
But I
what is he on? It's got to be what he is on the season. That's exactly what he is on the season, 12.3.
And our guy Tone, he says, yeah, but put Keegan on the opposing team's best offense player and expect him to score 25 points each night. That's not what anybody's expecting. Fine at 12, 13 points a night, shooting 37% from three.
Can you think of anyone they asked to do that with?
Well.
Do you want to have that conversation?
You ain't here no more.
Isn't that what y'all were asking De'Aaron to do?
And what was I saying the whole time?
He's the only one being asked to do that.
I said, get him off of the best player. Have him hide in the corner. I ain't asking nobody to do that.
It sucks when this team is bad. We were talking about the grassy knoll a week ago and pyramids and Stonehenge.
And then the Kings.
Now we
got to
solve
games.
All this goddamn team problems.
Fire everybody.
TK. And here's the thing: they play Oklahoma City tonight. What do we think tomorrow's going to be? Oh man,
lower your expectations. Might be all right.
So you said something. We don't even have we.
Do we have always just want to because she's a busy woman. We got TK at 2.
If we don't, she ain't tell me we don't.
Okay. Just checking, cause okay.
We got someone else at 2?
No. Oh. No, I'll just...
You got a surprise guest for us?
No.
Butcher Boy.
No FaceTimes on this show.
Butcher Boy's like, y'all going to FaceTime today? No. I don't want to see your ass. I don't want to see any of you ever again. I don't ever want to see Bonte Hill or Guru. None of them. Still have never seen Matt Mahigan. Don't even know what he looks like.
Go blue, though.
Whatever.
Yeah, go blue. Sweet 16. So my man Reggie.
Planning parade number 5.
Best friends with Mitch.
That's so funny.
You got a direct line.
That man called Mitch.
You got a Mitch phone.
On vacation. He's like, you know what? Sorry. Sorry, honey. I'm trying to imagine being out with the wife going, honey, I'm sorry. I got to call our guy Mitch in New Jersey real
Matt's
quick.
Like, I can't escape this guy.
No, I know we're in Turks and Caicos and the sun is shining down and the what? I have to call Mitch. Going through withdrawals. We'll come back. We just got a text.
Yeah, I guess we got to read it when we come back.
We just got a text from Eddie Gonzalez that said, please read this on the air. And hey, my man said read it on the air. We're going to read it on the air. And we'll do that next here on ESPN 1320. That's you and the big body Benz, huh?
Maybe a thug. We're going to find out.
No, actually, Juvenile's birthday is tomorrow.
Ah, gotcha.
So that's perfect.
26. Okay, yeah.
I got March 26th as Juvenile.
I meant to tell you, I'm going to put you guys on the game a little bit, too.
Okay.
Put y'all on the game, man.
Oh, exciting.
So you know the move right now, in fashion and shoes and all this other stuff is the dad shoe, the track shoe, right?
Like I thought it was
jewelry.
Gym later too.
I thought you was going to tell me I had to get jewelry for my shoes.
I mean, like I said, get you a hat. I can point you in the right direction.
No, I see that. Can you show the class the...
I mean, it's just
real quick, do you pick out like the wrong jewelry? Side.
Yeah.
You pick out jewelry for your hat? Like, you might pick out different earrings today.
Or
like,
I'm gonna put
this on the Cubs hat today.
Does your personal
yeah, that's how you do it.
Does your personal jeweler make the jewelry for all of your different hats?
No, I don't have a personal jeweler. He doesn't make this. There's a place
you
I
have
went
a
to,
personal
and I
jeweler.
Got,
stop.
I got, you know, I got it.
Got a guy.
Like, all right, cool.
Yeah, you gotta have
it's
a personal
good,
jeweler.
Yeah. No, it's whatever.
Oh, that's right. You went to the Cartier store. You didn't have to get a personal. I was like, everybody, you gotta have one, but you just. If you don't make money to go to the Cartier store, like Jesse knows, Jesse's going through it. You got to have a jeweler put together the perfect ring for
well,
you.
You know, shout out to the Cartier Love Ring. You know, it's my favorite piece of jewelry. You know what I mean? Big up Stone to Van Cleef is cool too, but I love the Love Ring. But
I'm gonna Google that. I'm gonna tell.
What?
Is that a real thing or is that just what? Oh, Cartier. Oh,
what?
Oh, it's a
what's
real,
a real thing?
The Cartier Love Ring. They got Cartier Love bracelets. Cartier Love Ring. Here it is.
The bracelet.
The official. Oh, the Love Collection. Uh-oh. Yeah. Okay.
That's how we had to do it. You know what I'm saying? That's how we had to do it.
Oh, okay. Well, not all of us can do this, but.
Stop. Do you want to pull up your backyard again? Is that what we want to do?
My backyard's nice, though.
Don't even have water in it. Leave the guy alone. He's got to pay for the water still.
I just realized that water is going to be running for like. I'm running for like 2 days.
That's crazy.
I gotta imagine that's gonna cost me, isn't it? Like his
hey, solar's got you.
Like his Roseville's gonna call to and say, "Yo, what the hell are you doing?"
Dame's gonna get fined for the drought and all that,
bruh. You know, it could happen.
Oh
it
man,
could happen.
But no, shout out to the Cartier Love Collection, man.
Shout out to my man Keith and Bianca's jewelry because I don't go to Cartier. I go to Bianca's.
Well, shout
I
out
see
Keith
my man
and Bianca.
Keith.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's Bianca's jewelry, not
oh,
Keith
Bianca's
and Bianca.
Jewelry. Oh, yeah. My bad.
You'll get Keith in trouble. Like.
My bad.
Hey, Keith, I'm gonna have you put something together for me, dog.
The Louis store is right across the street, bro. What are we talking about?
Across the street from what?
From the Cartier store.
How do you know where Louis stores are and their locations?
Yeah, don't do that. It's in Union Square. What are we doing?
Oh, sorry.
Everybody go to Union Square.
I go to Roseville Galleria to shop. You go to Union Square? Stop
it. Shout out Vintage Fair Mall, Modesto. Shout out Arden in Sacramento.
No, don't go there.
Well, they don't have a Cartier store out here. At least not that I know.
I don't think they do. No.
You had to make that trek. But. With the sneaker fashion and everything, check with me Thursday, kicking it with KC. But you know, the move is the running shoe. You know what I'm saying? Like the Vomeros and New Balances. Mm-hmm. That's the move right now. And like I said, this is what your boy do. Yeah, I got some Nikes. You know what I'm saying? I got the Nike running shoe. I do with it. Like, yeah. Sometimes you got to go there. You got to do what you got to do. But check this out. Look what I got on today, big dog. He's just killing the game too.
Whoa.
Come on, man. Got the Avia joints. Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. They fly. Nice. You get these. Where do you think I got them from?
The Cartier store, Union Square.
Ross.
Lower. I shouldn't say that. I'm not going to say that.
It was lower than Ross.
Marshall's.
No disrespect. No disrespect to nobody.
Payless.
No, I've got them at Walmart.
Okay.
$20.
Okay, cool.
And you can be good for the summer, man. That's official.
I love that.
It's official.
My summer shoe is just them little white Jordan 1s that are Lowe's. They're like $50.
So don't say that's the only one. You also got the Prestos that are very expensive.
No, okay. Yes, those are my favorites. But those are my favorites because they're comfortable.
Well, these I do have the insoles in.
If you make a good product, Kenny will shout you out on the radio.
Yeah, I just think I will, but I also think that's dope. And like... The kid, so it all came about because I was a TikTok or Instagram reel, and the kids was like hype. Like they was flooding these Walmarts to go get these shoes. It's like, yo, they got the running shoes for $20 over there. And I was like, damn, they probably do. I went over there. I went to the one over at Delta Shores. Sure enough.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we're going to pull these up. So sometimes.
KC the common man.
Sometimes. You
Cartier
know,
ring and some $20 shoes. It's a good look.
So sometimes, you know, to be fly, it's not always about how much you spend. It's about what you do with it and where you find the bargain shop.
Yeah,
you know
see, Sam don't know. Sam says, what the hell is a summer shoe? Yeah, Sam, come on, man. You got to learn. You got to keep up.
I'm with you, Sam.
Summer shoe. Well, okay. Okay, you are 24/7 Air Force One.
Yeah, that's his bag. But also, it's got to be a summer shoe because I don't wear open-toed shoes. So it's going to be a tennis shoe.
You don't wear slides at all?
Right.
Not in public.
Me either.
Slides and socks?
No, man. No.
Not in public. Although, if I do get these one pair of slides, I might.
Y'all are better than me.
Yeah, no slides and socks. It's always some
socks,
shoes.
Socks, huh?
Well, yeah, clean socks. Don't come out with these stinky-ass feet.
Well, did you see your boy? They went and found all the videos from your boy from, you know, the daily routine. And they was like, yo, this guy got beef with socks? And
he put his shoes on. He had those socks on.
He never wears socks.
Gross.
Not to work out, nothing.
That was the most obnoxious video. I think I've ever seen, but I think Brody got paid off of it. So salute to my.
Nah, he got paid, but I don't even think he maximized because they said it's the Saratoga water. Like they saw sales go up, like
some crazy
1500%. I don't think he got a dime off of none of that.
Oh, he's not. He didn't. That wasn't an endorsement placement. Or
I don't
product
think
placement?
That the way I read it, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
He still got money because maybe, you know, his channel and stuff like that and subscribers. But Saratoga specifically, I don't know if he got money off
of it. They said, why did it take that man an entire minute to walk through the sliding glass door? Then the man jumps in the pool all sloppily like he can't dive properly, apparently swims to the other side and just gets out.
They said he jumps in the pool and he was just floating for 4 minutes.
We need D'Lo and KC there in the lives. Like, imagine D'Lo has a chocolate chip cookie at 7:30.
It sounds pretty good right now.
KC, AM or KC? PM?
No,
PM,
he has PM. A chocolate chunk.
Chocolate chunk, yeah, PM.
You, yeah, yeah.
You eat cookies at night, chunk. Right?
Yeah, yeah, that's the shoot.
Yeah. KC takes the shooting gun from Reese at 6:30.
I'm taking the shooting
gun. We could do that. We could do a
You wake up early enough to do it.
Half the day is just going to be Ryan yelling.
Casey pleads with Brian to stop crying at 2 p.m.
The other half today is just going to be Kenny getting yelled at by somebody.
5:45, the family calls Casey by his real name.
Kenneth.
But my baby tough, though. She tougher than a $2 steak.
Oh, she no doubt.
Took the charge.
No, she
hey!
Did.
Yeah.
Sounded like Draymond out there calling for the foul. She went to mom for the review. Hey, man, shout out to our guy, Mike Bibby.
Come on, man. Come on.
Mike Bibby, the new head coach of the Sac State Hornets.
Yes, indeed.
Mike Bibby, who will join us Friday at 1 o'clock.
Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, Friday at 1 o'clock, Mike will be with us.
I can't wait for that, man. I'm so hyped about this signing. This is – shout out to Dr. Luke Wood.
Yep.
Shout out to my man Mark Orr.
Yep.
AD Mark Orr.
They got it done.
They are making moves. They are making moves, and this is going to be a hell of a move. I look at what Mike Bibby can do just in recruiting alone.
Mm-hmm.
And – I don't think that I'm speaking in hyperbole right now. I think he can contend in the Big Sky next year.
Absolutely.
When you talk about the transfer
portal. Absolutely.
When you talk about what they may be able to do with NILs and all that. We've seen Coach Marion got these boys cooking.
Yep.
Got these boys cooking.
Yep.
So I think Mike can come in here and have instant success in that conference. And I can't wait to see it. And it's going to be going into the new pavilion, arena, whatever we're calling it over at the Well,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be rocking. I'm being in the building next year. Come on, man.
Germ said, I need a sneak peek of Bibby's shoe collection. What? Boy, I don't even know that cameras are allowed in where Mike's shoes are.
Well, you're going to need a facial recognition to get there. And I did say yesterday, like I said, I ain't trying to.
Were we together when Al told us the story of Mike's shoes?
I don't think so. So
Al, being Connie, worked with Mike all of those years here. He would go to Arizona and work with him out there.
Uh-huh.
And he said the last time he went to see Mike, Mike was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to send you back with a bunch of shoes. And he just starts pulling shoes. And then he said he goes into this other space. He goes, it looks like a Foot Locker, but not the Foot Locker you walk into. It's the Foot Locker you see when you walk to the back where all the shoes are.
Right.
That's what Mike's storage unit looks like.
Man. Oh, man. Hey, Coach Mike, man. Shoot me a coat, man. I mean, now, look.
I got a pair from Team Dime. I don't remember what number they were. I got a couple from Mike.
Okay. Shout out Mike Bibby, Team Dime. Big ups to him. Now, like I said, tweeted it yesterday. I'll say it here on the air. Not trying to start no mess, but there's one more thing we need in this transformation here. If we can remove the stripes, bring a Jumpman logo or Nike in. I don't know what the contract is.
Man.
I'm not trying to do anything. I'm not trying to speak out of place. I don't know. I'm just saying if we can get rid of the stripes.
When
you can't just talk to Big Mike himself and be like,
When you're Jumpman, you're Jumpman for life. Like, Mike's allotment of shoes hasn't ended. You look at the famous picture of the Incredible Hulk version of Mike Bibby.
Yeah.
What was he wearing?
He on that Jumpman.
Yeah, that ain't changed.
He on that Jumpman. And look,
hey,
people,
place that call.
I
can't imagine Mike out there rock. Oh,
some people,
I didn't even think of that.
Some people who make moves, they was like, yeah. I ain't gonna say, but if you look hard, hard enough, you can see somebody was co-signing that. And I'm like, all right, well, we on the same page. Let's all get on the same page. I don't know.
So Mike Bibby gonna join us on Friday at 1 o'clock.